No, said the DUP. The party has said it could not support Prime Minister Boris Johnson's revised Brexit plan for Northern Ireland. In a statement released early this morning, they said, as things stand, we could not support what is being suggested on customs and consent issues, and there is a lack of clarity on VAT. The Alliance Party leader, Naomi Long, with us today. Good morning to you, Naomi.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the Conservative MP, Daniel Kaczynski. Good morning, Daniel. Daniel's with us in just a second. Naomi, as things stand, what do you interpret that to mean? What do the DUP need to get this across the line?
Well, I think it's a soft no, Stephen, rather than a hard no. So they've not rejected the deal out of hand. They're leaving room for negotiation and further discussion. But, I mean, that may be a moot point because there's a bit of pessimism developing here in Brussels, because the draft text that was expected to be circulated overnight hasn't actually arrived ahead of the council meeting today. So that's not exactly great mood music. It may well be that because those negotiations have been going on with the DUP, that they weren't able to get that draft text in place. But that obviously creates problems for actually getting a deal done. But at the end of the day, Stephen, whether the DUP support this or not, Boris Johnson has other options. He can opt to take this to a referendum and give people a confirmatory vote on whether they want to leave on the basis of any deal he negotiates or whether they want to remain. He can do that and essentially bypass what could be a very difficult vote for him in Parliament, because I think the other parties would support that. So he's chosen this particular arithmetic to try and get the DUP and the hardliners in his own party over the line. He could actually opt for a different path if he really wants to do it.
But Naomi,
and that's not beyond his ability.
Some people might say you're still banging on about another referendum, which would prolong all of this for many, many more months, if not years. We just want this done, don't we? You want another referendum and for this to go round in circles again.
Well, Stephen, I think anyone who thinks that this will be done when there's a deal is absolutely deluded. Brexit is going to be with us now for the foreseeable future. It's our new state of being. After we get a deal, assuming we can get a deal, there will then be protracted negotiations to get the future arrangements between the UK and the EU resolved. That could take years. And many of the issues that will arise as a result of Brexit will continue to be negotiated. So we're talking here a process that could go on for at least a decade. So the idea that we can just get this done, whilst I understand the frustration that people have, is misplaced. What we need to do is get this right, because it's going to shape our future and the future for generations to come. So what we need to do is get it right, not just get it done. And I believe that it's important that we get a deal. That's crucial for Northern Ireland. And if the DUP aren't willing to provide the arithmetic necessary to get a deal through Parliament, then I think Boris Johnson would be right to go to the public, give them the opportunity to vote on this deal. Because the alternative to this deal is that we crash out, we have a chaotic Brexit, and that too will have ramifications that will go on for years. But those will be incredibly serious for people who lose their jobs, whose farms go out of business, and who find themselves unable to continue living their lives as they do at the minute. So we've got to look at what's available as a solution to this. And I think that there are two options. Either he gets the arithmetic right and the DUP go with the deal, and that still leaves major questions as to whether the deal itself is a good deal, because, remember, the rest of us haven't seen it, despite representing the majority of people in Northern Ireland. But there's a wider question then of whether or not he can go around the DUP and actually just put this back to the public. And that would be my preference.
Naomi Long, thank you very much indeed. 03030 80 55 55. The Conservative MP, Daniel Kaczynski. Good morning to you, Daniel.
Good morning.
Good morning. Former member of the ERG, are you comfortable with the amount of power the DUP has?
Well, whether I'm comfortable or not is immaterial. It's a reality, we have no majority in the House of Commons, as you know. They are our competence and supply partners. I think the relationship between the DUP and the Conservative government has changed and evolved. I sense a better, more collegiate atmosphere at the moment than I did under the Theresa May premiership. Yesterday, for the first time in 14 years, I actually went sat down in the DUP office, just sitting there for a bit and talking to various DUP MPs to try to better understand their perspective.
Who are you talking to?
Well, I talked to about three or four of their members of parliament.
Are you talking to Sammy? Were you talking to Ian?
I was talking to about four of them. What is very important is, and very impressive, is how disciplined they have been, all 10 of them. Nobody's deviating away from the stated line. They are a very effective, strong bloc in Parliament, and their power is over-accentuated because of the arithmetic in the House of Commons. It's a reality of the situation, and they are clearly using that to their advantage, like anybody else would under those similar circumstances.
And what were they telling you? What was the mood like? Were they frustrated? Were they buoyant? What's their mood like yesterday?
I don't think they were frustrated, and I don't think they were buoyant. I think they were very, very determined to explain that aspects of the deal, such as the border through the Irish Sea and various other issues to do with the customs procedures, are they consider to be the thin end of the wedge, which under the extreme circumstances could lead to Ulster being somehow wrought out of the United Kingdom in the future. That, obviously, for them is a no-no, and they are not prepared to countenance anything which, in the slightest form, has the ability to put them in an invidious position in terms of their continued membership of the United Kingdom.
So hold on a moment now, just for me to understand that a little bit more. They say that, were they referring to customs checks there when they were talking about bringing us out of the UK?
Well, anything to do with...
Was it
with
consent
anything,
or what was it they were talking
well,
about?
Well, anything to do with, my understanding is obviously clearly, and you have to speak to them directly, but my understanding is that they are worried about, obviously, a regulatory VAT customs framework, which is different to the United Kingdom, which makes them continue to be a rule taker from the European Union. European Union rules being taking precedence over United Kingdom rules, and potentially them having to administer and collect taxes for the European Union. All of these things are things which are obviously of concern.
But Daniel, they've already agreed to regulatory alignment with the EU in terms of our goods here. So why would that not just be tolerable for them to go an extra step? Have you got a sense why?
Well, I have a feeling that their party members are obviously making their views known to the Ulster MPs, that anything that smacks of them being put at a disadvantage to the rest of the United Kingdom, out of alignment, out of the United Kingdom orbit, and somehow in a vulnerable position, which could lead to an ever greater influence by the European Union to the detriment of their ongoing membership of the United Kingdom, is something that clearly they are very vulnerable to. And bearing in mind the history and bearing in mind how hard they have had to fight to remain in the United Kingdom for generations, I don't think it's unreasonable at this stage to listen to some of those concerns. What they do want is they want a deal. And I said to them, of course, there are companies now in my constituency, conversely, some of our biggest exporters from Shropshire to the European Union are just saying to me, just vote for anything which is tolerable, because what is really damaging us is not the prospect of a no deal, it's the uncertainty. It's that we can't plan. We can't make considerations for exporting to the European Union because there is no certainty. And that is really starting to hamper our economy. So I was telling the DUP about some of the concerns from my constituents in Shrewsbury. They were explaining to me their position. Let's just hope. And I've got to rush off to the Commons now because we're voting. But let's just hope that at this 11th hour, some sort of a compromise can be made, because I think we will need a DUP in the future. There's no guarantee that we're going to win the next general election. We may need their
And final question.
And to ruffle their feathers now and to antagonise the DUP now, just to get a deal across the line, I think could have serious consequences for us further down the line.
And final question before you go. Do you think the Prime Minister would be prepared to throw the DUP, so to speak, under the bus and try to get a deal through without them?
I hope not, and I think that the relationship between Arlene, Mrs. Foster, and the Prime Minister is more positive, more transparent, and more collegiate than happened towards the end of the May premiership. I very much hope that Prime Minister Johnson does everything possible to keep the DUP on board. They are the key to the solution, because we don't want, as your previous guest said, another referendum. That is something which I would fight tooth and nail to prevent, because I think the discord that this thing has sown in our society, I've never come across it in 47 years, and I don't want another 6 months or a year of this going on, because I think the tensions and strains will just become even more profound.
Daniel Kuczynski, thank you very much indeed. 03030 80 55 55. It's those age-old questions that are still on the agenda. Should we be getting a deal done? Should there be another referendum? What do you make of the amount of control that the DUP has? Are you proud of what they're doing? Are you proud of how they've got a central role in this EU-wide discussion now? How far do you think they should compromise? Steve Aiken, Ulster Unionist Party MLA. Morning to you, Steve.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. They're at the party. They are at the centre of the talks, of course, which must make the UUP feel irrelevant.
Just going by the number of texts and commentary I've been getting from sort of various people in Westminster, many people about the government, it's obviously that people are very aware of the fact that the DUP have, by agreeing to two borders, foster alignment down the Irish Sea. We're now in a situation where Northern Ireland is increasingly looking to be getting hived off, and everybody is now realising that there needs to be another solution to what, in this effect, is Northern Ireland becoming very much a place that's very separate. And one of the questions we need to ask, are we better off as we are now than going down any of these alignments that seem to be in the case? And I think one of the most interesting things, I mean, Stephen, you and I have been talking about this for a very long time.
You mean better off remaining?
Do you know what? At the present moment in time, I think we probably would be better off remaining. It's much better than moving down to this form of, as we have always said in the Ulster Unionist Party, this form of some new form of joint authority. I think Mark Davenport put his finger on it this morning in one of his tweets. He said, this would be the biggest fundamental rewriting of the Belfast Agreement since the St Andrews Agreement, and we know how badly that turned out.
So, the significance of what you've just said is as follows, in my view. You're the only person currently in the running to be the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party. Your party is currently a Leave party. You've just said you would be better off remaining.
For Northern Ireland.
If you become the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, are you saying that you will contemplate turning your party into a Remain party?
For the good of Northern Ireland and what will make Northern Ireland work again, very clearly, we need to have a solution that works. We as the Ulster Unionist Party have been putting forward solutions to people that had made sure there'd be no borders north, south or east or west. The thing that's on the table now, concocted by the DUP and Boris Johnson, is an absolute disaster for everybody in Northern Ireland. Can you imagine the fact that now we're going to have a separate VAT regime to that within of the rest of the UK?
Well, that's something the DUP is resisting.
Why did they agree to a border down the Irish Sea? Have you had any answers to that, Stephen? Does anybody in Northern Ireland know why the DUP agreed to put a regulatory border down the Irish Sea? And remember, as soon as that was put on the table, it was never coming off. So everything that's happened since has just been a process that has been ongoing from the fact that Arlene Foster, Nigel Dodds and Sammy Wilson agreed to a regulatory border down the Irish Sea. And everything that has happened since has flowed from that.
Can I just get clarification? Are you saying that as things stand at the moment, you are advocating Remain?
As if this Boris Johnson deal is the only deal on the table, for the good of Northern Ireland, the thing that we have to advocate is Remain. I think that's a very clear message.
Is your party on board with this?
Stephen, as you know, I'm one of the people standing for the leadership.
You're the only person currently declaring that you're going to stand. You have a pretty good chance. There's no one else competing against you at the minute.
Well, Stephen, we have a process, as you well know, and there's up until next Wednesday for other people to put their name in their hat. But if I'm the only, if I am the leader and I'm standing on a platform that rather than accepting this absolute disastrous deal of Boris Johnson, we would be better off in.
And rather, if there was, would you rather try to find a different deal or would you rather remain?
Stephen, if we could find the deal that the Ulster Unionist Party has been talking about, the idea that we don't have any borders north, south or east or west, we actually use the framework of the Belfast Treaty Agreement to make something work so that we have a close alignment with the European Union, because that's what our businesses, our farmers and everybody wants. That's something we should be looking at, not this. I think John Campbell and I are probably the only two people who read all these documents coming in and out and try and put some sense into it. And if you listen to John this morning trying to explain what this EU VAT regime would mean in comparison with the rest of the United Kingdom and the sort of the amount of bureaucracy our companies would have to go through, you know, and even John can't make sense of it and make it understandable. How are we actually how is this of benefit to Northern Ireland? Right now, we've got a system that we understand. And I understand very clearly for those who voted to leave. In Northern Ireland, if you voted to leave, you wanted to leave the EU. As Boris Johnson's deal stands, you're not voting for leave. The rest of GB is going to leave, or the rest of Great Britain will be leaving. Northern Ireland will be fully embedded within the European Union without any say whatsoever in what we're trying to do. How can that possibly be any good for us in Northern Ireland?
Are you a Remainer now?
Stephen, I've been very clear right from the beginning. I support the Remain to begin with. The democratic will of the people of the United Kingdom was that we're going to leave. The Ulster Unionist Party looked to get a deal that worked for Northern Ireland. And also we need to make Northern Ireland work again. That's what we pushed to do. And that's what we tried to do. But that has evolved into something, quite frankly, now that means if you agreed to Boris Johnson and DUP's deal, which, you know, I've probably got no doubt whatsoever that the DUP are being sweetened off with more sort of all sorts of different sort of opportunities and various other things. And there will be lots of sweeteners to try and push them along as well. But as soon as Arlene Foster agreed to two borders, Foster agreed to the border down the middle of the Irish Sea, this is the situation we're heading.
Well, of course, she hasn't agreed to anything, has she? Because the whole point is the DUP have currently said no. And the principle of consent and Northern Ireland having some type of veto is one of the things the DUP would be insisting on.
Stephen, if you can ever get somebody from the DUP on to come and explain to it, you might ask Sir Geoffrey Donaldson why they agreed to a regulatory border down the Irish Sea. Because as soon as you agreed to a regulatory border down the Irish Sea, everything that has happened since is just a natural follow-on where the negotiating position would be.
You agreed to the border
down the Irish Sea, which regulatorily put Northern Ireland in a different place from the rest of the United Kingdom. And if you were somebody who was involved in international trade discussions or indeed within the EU, it would be obvious that if you agreed to that, you'd also agree to a different VAT regime. And if you're agreeing to a different VAT regime, you would agree to a joint authority process.
But the point is, they're not agreeing to a different VAT regime. We know that. We know that they haven't agreed to that. So you're playing politics this morning. Of course you are. You're a politician. And in terms of a border down the Irish Sea, we already have a border down the Irish Sea with animals.
Yeah, but Stephen, the border down the Irish Sea with animals was introduced by the Northern Ireland Assembly to deal with issues with BSE and foot and mouth. That was a decision made by Northern Ireland to protect our phytosanitary boundaries. Where does it mention, wherever did we ever discuss the fact that we were going to have a regulatory boundary for the over 800 forms of manufactured goods and various other things that will have to be declared coming from Great Britain into Northern Ireland? Where was that? How is that in any way a good idea for Northern Ireland businesses? And equally, now that we're moving more...
Well, how are you going to respect, how are you going to, if you are a future leader of your party... Two questions around that. First one, how are you going to respect the result of the referendum, which was to leave?
Stephen, let's ask it. If you are a Leave voter in Northern Ireland right at this moment in time, and the only deal on the table is Boris Johnson's deal, And Boris Johnson's deal has Northern Ireland staying, in all intents and purposes, within the EU. You ask yourself very clearly, is that what I voted for? And the answer to that is no. I don't think there's anybody in Northern Ireland who voted for Leave who actually thinks that the Boris Johnson deal gets them what they wanted. So for people in Northern Ireland, it's very clear. Boris Johnson's deal is bad for us. The best thing for us, in many respects, is to stay in.
And stay after another referendum, or just revoke Article 50, full stop?
Stephen, we're now into what's going to happen with Parliament and where we're going to. But whatever we have to do, we need to have a deal that makes Northern Ireland work again. We need to get Northern Ireland in the best possible position that we are. And remember the sort of the Fraser Allender research paper that came out, and I think it's been quoted fairly often. Every single thing apart from staying in means there's a net loss to our gross domestic product from Northern Ireland. Everything is worse. Now, I would love them to run the figures on Boris Johnson's New Deal as well, because Boris Johnson's New Deal is probably even worse than probably a hard Brexit for where we're going to be as well. So let's be honest about it. This has been a disaster for Northern Ireland. The only way we can really get out of this is stay.
Part of your test, and with all due respect, I'm sure you'll agree with this, your leadership candidacy comes second to the big news today of whether there's going to be a Brexit deal or not. But it's still relevant. At the end of the day, you're running to be leader of the Ulster Unionist Party. That is not insignificant. One of the tests for you as a potential leader is how much can you bring your party with you? Have you consulted with anybody in your party? Is the party behind you when you're declaring today, if it's Boris Johnson's deal, is it the Ulster Unionist Party's position that, given the prospect of Boris Johnson's deal, the UUP position will be, we are a Remain party? Have you consulted?
Stephen, I have been going around the country, literally, from one end to the other. Matter of fact, I'm heading out to the west just as soon as I've finished talking to you right now. I've been talking across all memberships, all members of the Ulster Unionist Party. I've been talking to business groups. I've been talking to farmers groups. I've been talking to our MLA groups. What I'm saying is no surprise to anybody. That's the mandate I'm standing on. I'm standing on it because we need to do what is best for Northern Ireland.
Have you consulted with your party?
Stephen, I'm consulting with my party all the time.
About this, you're declaring this morning, and Boris Johnson is currently the Prime Minister. You're declaring this morning that you are a Remainer if the alternative is Boris Johnson's deal. Is this the position, would this be the position of the Ulster Unionist Party if you were leader?
That is, if I become the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party and I'm duly elected, we've gone through all the process, that is the mandate I'm standing on, and that is the mandate we need to have to make Northern Ireland work again, because Northern Ireland businesses, Northern Ireland people, Northern Ireland needs certainty. Right now, there is no certainty whatsoever.
And can you think at the moment of any other deal that is an alternative to Boris Johnson's deal that would stop you being a Remainer?
Every time we talk about the good work that Reg MP's been doing and the fact that the Ulster Unionist Party be saying, let's make sure there's no borders north, south or east or west. Let's make sure that we use the facilities of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement to be able to create structures where we can facilitate trade across these islands. How do we get from what is to be essentially a trade deal to make sure there is free flow of trade across these islands as we have right now? How do we manage to get to that, to the position where Northern Ireland's going to be hived off into something that is going to be, there's going to be very little democratic accountability? It's going to mean a fundamental rewrite of the provisions of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. How did we get to that position, Stephen? The Ulster Unionist Party, right from the beginning, we wanted to make sure if we were going to leave, what we need to do is have a deal that works for everyone.
And if it were a choice, and this is not reality at all, or even close to it, but if you had a choice between the Reg MP proposals or this country should remain in the EU, what would you be choosing? What would your position be?
Stephen, the Reg MP proposals, Reg and I have been working on those proposals for a very long time. We've been explaining them to everybody for a very long time. That works. That would work for every
party. Would that be your preference over Remain?
That would be the preference, because that would get us to a point where we could achieve all, we could square the circle.
But of course, there's no prospect of the EU accepting those whatsoever.
It has been, even when we've discussed it in Europe, even when we've discussed it across the place, it has always been this push from Boris Johnson and the ERGs to have as hard a Brexit as possible. The answer, you know, somewhere along the lines was way before Lancaster House, when Theresa May was talking about how do we get as close as alignment with Europe as possible. And at the moment when Theresa May made her speech, when she said in Lancaster House we weren't going to be part of the customs union and we were going to be further separated from that way, many of the solutions that would have made a sensible a divorce settlement from EU, many of those have gone. So we're in a situation right now. If you're a businessman in Northern Ireland, and people have been on the phone lots and lots of times saying, like, Steve, what's going to happen? How does this going to work? How am I going to be able to pay for all these costs? How am I going to employ the extra people we're going to do it? And here's the thing, Stephen. We can't even run a renewable heating scheme in Northern Ireland. How are we going to run our own specialised customs union and gather all these taxes and move them back and forth? How is that possible?
Final question. Your colleague Doug Beattie, when he was on the programme, said that where we currently stand, he could see the prospect of a United Ireland within his lifetime. Could you? If Boris Johnson's Stephen, deal goes through, do you think that brings us closer to a United Ireland or not?
Stephen, I don't want to put out more fear, and we should be putting out...
So call it. That's why I'm asking the question, so that there's not fear, but also there needs to be a reality check within unionism and you're a potential future leader of a part of unionism in Northern Ireland. Do you think Remain could save us from a United Ireland?
Yes. There is no doubt whatsoever that if we remain within the EU, that many of the questions that are being asked now about the future of Northern Ireland are taken off the table. And actually, we can get down to what we really want to do, is making Northern Ireland work again. We have to do that, Stephen. That's the most important thing.
Why do you say yes to that question?
Because if we remain within the European Union, much of there has been a massive polarisation in Northern Ireland. And let's be honest about it, the reason I campaigned for Remain in the first place, look, I worked in the EU. In many cases, it's a complete and utter basket case. But there were three very distinct reasons why I wanted to we should stay within the EU. The first one was on regulation, because no matter what happens, the likes of Airbus, BMW, all the major companies will always stay in regulatory alignment with the rest of Europe. It's the largest market. We were going to do that. So the whole idea that Britain was going to break away from the level playing field, in inverted commas, just wasn't be going to be followed by all the major companies. Remember, I was a chief executive of the British Irish Chamber of Commerce, so I've got to speak with this with some authority. The second issue was about European security and the importance of Europe being joined together to be able to sort of deal with the challenges and the threats in the future. But the third reason, and this was it, because it would further polarise a very polarised society in Northern Ireland, because the whole implications of going for Brexit and what that would mean in hard borders would undermine people's view of the future of Northern Ireland. I want a Northern Ireland that works for everybody. I want a Northern Ireland that's for unionists, pro-unionists. Some of those people are not really interested in the union one way or another. But I want a Northern Ireland that works, and it should be working very well, but it's not. We need to make it work again. And to do that, we need to have some degree of certainty and stability.
And of course, and this is the final point, I've got to go to the news. I know you've got to go. But in the way you confidently and assertively answered that question with the word yes, when I said, could Remain save Northern Ireland from a United Ireland, and you said yes, does that mean, Steve Aiken, that you believe that a United Ireland is a real prospect if Brexit happens under Boris Johnson's plans?
Stephen,
the logic follows, doesn't it?
Stephen, I think very clearly with Boris Johnson's plan and the DUP, what they've been doing over the not just over the last 2 years, over the last decade, they're fundamentally undermining the future of Northern Ireland. Read into that what you want, but I'm very, very clear that what the DUP have been doing has been detrimental to the future of Northern Ireland and detrimental to the future of the Union. Anybody who believes putting a border down the Irish Sea isn't severely impacting in the union, I tell you right now, you've got to really ask yourself what their commitment is for the future.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, the union is the most important thing. But Stephen, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you. Good morning to you. So that's the Ulster Unionist Party MLA, Steve Aiken, who has said, given where we're at with Boris Johnson's proposal, we are better off remaining in the EU.